Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On this show last night, we talked about the leg lamp from Christmas Story. Now we have pictures of Elvis on our Facebook page. You're just going to have to check it out on your own. I cannot be responsible for all of the content that is on our social media websites. However, we tend to think outside the box here, especially on our hump show. So we've talked about fake babies being declared, fake baby being declared dead in New York City. It's a bizarre story. Max Scherzer with a bunting mishap and his broken nose. Concerts via hologram, which is where Elvis comes in. And now an after-hours golf tournament featuring all three of us who aren't good golfers. It's again, I'm giving you the option of no social media, no phones. I feel like it should be a pressure-free zone. There should be no type of bullying allowed. You know what happens when you bully. I mean, you get vilified, and I would have the proof. So problem is we need a fourth. Who wants to come be the fourth? Because otherwise we'll get, here's what happens, and Dave will know this because he's been to the golf course before. If you show up with three, they generally will put a single with you. Can you imagine the poor sad sap who got stuck with us as the fourth? No, so we need to find a fourth who is sympathetic to the cause. I don't know what the cause is. The cause being that you get to know Dave and Chris a whole lot better because I will be avoiding the cameras at all costs.
We got to find out who plays golf around here.
Well, here's the funny part. I just asked Jay Berman when he left the studio. I said, Jay, do you play golf? Yes. And then I proceeded to talk about how we need a fourth. He left, as in, don't let the door split you where the good Lord hit you. Just out. He was out the door, and that was the last I heard. So not Jay. So we'll eliminate coworkers one by one. Just, you know. Or if one of you has a friend, I don't have any. That would be up to you. You would have to.
Chris has lots of friends.
Chris does have lots of friends.
He's cool.
That's right. He's so cool that he's never gone golfing and is willing to let you see his inaugural round of golf. Are you sure, Chris? I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, see,
what happens if you break a window and then there's video proof? That is a possibility. I've hit the side of homes before. Why would you ever have a home on a golf course? There's all kinds of liability there.
No, I'm totally fine with it. Listen, if it gets us good stuff for the show, that's the only
You're
thing
a social media
about.
Shill.
Yeah, exactly.
It will be funny.
Content Chris. That's what you got to call me.
Okay, that's better than on-air Chris. That was pretty bland.
Yes.
No more on-air Chris. You're allowed to be on the air, but on-air Chris is a bad nickname. And even though Chris says someone else gave him the nickname, we're pretty sure he gave it to himself.
That is not true. Not true.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Hump Show. Happy Hump Day to you if you're waking up on your Wednesday morning. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Yes, you've missed a lot, so you better catch up. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The actual real golfers, the pro golfers, they will be back at it this weekend. They've got the Travelers Championship, and then you've got the action on the court as well. It's the former basketball legends and all-stars playing in the Big Three, all of that this weekend on CBS. So if you want to see how the pros do it before you watch how we do it, yay, CBS. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. In 30 minutes, we're going to spend some time in Houston because this has gotten redonkulous. Yahoo Sports now has a column out, and it was just posted in the last 12, 13 hours. Vincent Goodwill, the author, and he's describing the delicate relationship between James Harden and Chris Paul. And the word that he uses, and he says he got it from league sources, you know how I feel about league sources sometimes, but league sources have called this relationship unsalvageable, as in irreconcilable differences, as in headed for divorce court, as in I don't want to see your face ever again, as in unfollow each other on social media. Is that what people do nowadays when they get divorced? They unfollow each other on social media? Forget the joint bank accounts. Just unfollow each other on social media. So according to Goodwill's column on Yahoo, and this is in direct contradiction to what Daryl Morey said in a recent interview on ESPN. Morey said, the general manager of the Rockets, said that Chris Paul has not asked for a trade. In fact, has said the opposite. He doesn't want to be traded out of Houston. But according to Yahoo, CP3 went to Rockets management and demanded a trade, while Harden has gone to the front office and said, it's him or me. One or the other, it's him or me. And their grievances, there's a list on either side. Harden doesn't like how much Chris Paul talks, the fact that he's abrasive. Chris Paul doesn't like the fact that Harden's a ball hog and that the offense doesn't flow. And there's all kinds of examples from league sources. So you can go ahead and you can read this column on Yahoo. But there's been a lot of drama there with Mike D'Antoni and his contract or no contract, sniping from Chris Paul at coach, Harden not wanting to give up the ball anyway, so it doesn't matter what the offense is doing. And so in 30 minutes, we're going to spend some time in Houston and try to get to the bottom of all of this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Surprise coming out of Boston in NBA free agency, and we're not even there yet. I saw one NBA insider call it pre-agency. This is pre-agency to the free agency. Yes, that is perfect. I'm trying to envision the Celtics right now without Al Horford. I tell you what, the last 3 years that he spent with them, he was the glue that held them together. So to hear that he has turned down his $30 million option for next season and decided to become an unrestricted free agent, and to hear multiple reports that he will be leaving Boston, including a report from NBA insider Mark Stein, who I'm sure you're familiar with. He's been around a long time and is really good at what he does. He said on Twitter yesterday that Al Horford apparently has a, can we call it an offer yet? We probably shouldn't call it an offer at this point. But that the reason the talks with the Celtics have broken off is because there will be forthcoming a 4-year offer for Al Horford worth in excess of $100 million. Now, earlier we had the conversation about whether or not 33 was early 30s or mid 30s. And, when you become late 20s versus early 30s versus mid 30s, Al Horford's 33. He should have 4 more years in that body of his. He's relatively durable, even though he's a blue-collar player. Hard-nosed, he's disciplined, he's a good communicator. He's willing to do all the dirty work. So fighting for loose balls, rotating on defense, talking on defense, blocking shots, putting his body in the way to try to take a charge, going for a rebound. Very often when, especially this last season, when the Celtics seemed like they were a ticking time bomb because of the issues with Kyrie Irving's leadership, Horford was the guy that would keep people together, keep them on the same page as much as possible. But again, according to Mark Stein, Horford's camp already knows that he's got an offer waiting in the wings. 4 years worth more than $100 million. And reportedly, the Celtics were unwilling to match that. And so he is going to end up elsewhere. That is intriguing to wonder which team is going to make him that offer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Horford with 13.5 points, 6.5 rebounds per game last year. But again, it's more about the leadership. It's more about the maturity. It's more about him holding everything together. A glue guy. He's a glue guy on the court. So pre-agency is simmering right now. We haven't even gotten to June 30th yet when these guys are officially allowed to talk to teams and agree to terms. Oh my gosh, we're not even close to June. I mean, we're closer than we were, say, you know, 2 weeks ago, but you get my point. It's not like it's tomorrow. The draft, however, is coming up tomorrow. Segway. That's why I make 50 cents a day. The draft maybe doesn't have the drama at the top, unless the Pelicans really want to throw a wrench into things, but I doubt it. Zion Williamson is what people expect to be a generational player. Three quarters of a season at Duke, but he already has a massive fan base, and that's what the NBA draft lottery was all about, winning the rights to pick Zion Williamson. Well, when it comes to people who know him, I'm not sure you can find a bigger fan than Mike Krzyzewski, who was his coach at Duke.
He's improved so much this past year, and what he'll do for the community, because New Orleans, unless, you know, something is really crazy in this world, he'll be in New Orleans, and for that community, he'll reach out. He's an amazing people person, and humble. He's just so humble. I mean, I love that. I love him. And I love him as a player and as a young man. I take him any day of the week, and I hope that he will also participate in the U.S. Trials and that Coach Popovich is going to have in.
So potentially, it's just the start, being able to participate in USA basketball, planting himself in New Orleans. And I think it's interesting what Coach K has to say, and he's no doubt been in communication with Zion, that he's going to embrace the community. He's going to plant roots. He's going to make himself a part of not just the Pelicans, but of the city around him. Because what was the narrative on draft lottery night? He was disappointed. He left quickly. And you know what? Even if he was completely blown away and disappointed, dismayed that he didn't end up, well, that the Knicks didn't end up with the number one pick or another major city. Los Angeles, the Lakers did actually move up in the draft lottery as well. But that he didn't end up seeing one of those teams at the top. But he's had time, right? I mean, it's been, I don't remember exactly when the draft lottery was. I'll say a month. It's been roughly a month. And so he has time to get used to it. And I appreciate that those around him are saying New Orleans couldn't make a better pick.
Zion's incredibly unique, not just as a player, but as a young man. He's still only 18 years old. And as good of an athlete, and he's a top percentile athlete in the world, not just in the game of basketball. He's that level of young man. He gets it. He gets it. I enjoyed every day with that kid. And he's improved. He's going to be a star in the league.
Coach K on Sirius XM, NBA radio. So, actually, I don't know if it's NBA channel. I don't actually know what channel his show is on, but it's always intriguing stuff. He actually is a guy who's willing to let you behind the scenes, and of course, very intelligent. And we'll talk about kind of the X's and O's of basketball, but also we'll give you a flavor for what it's like. A guy who manages to stay relevant, even though he's coaching young men. That maybe if they met in some other walk of life, they might not listen to him or they might not think twice. Hey, this guy's old. But this guy is not only old, he is also older. He is also one of the best coaches ever. And he still knows how to communicate with young people, even if they are about his grandkids' age. So you can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio. If you've ever seen a concert with a hologram. Or if you would go to a concert that's nothing but a hologram, I'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about this because it's a way to see dead artists in concert. And I don't know if I'm sold on it yet, but some of you have talked to me about Tupac going back to Coachella. Others of you have seen concerts where they do have holograms for duets. But would you go see a concert with nothing but a hologram? If I did, it would be Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. Those are two that I could think of. But I don't know. I'm not sure if it's worth doing that. If it's not a good experience, then I might actually rue it and think I want my money back. But I'm chewing on it. So find us on Twitter, on Facebook, too. A lot of you weighing in. Look for the picture of Elvis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our Hump Show, your Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. Major League Baseball taking over the center ring of the circus. And speaking of circus, the Umpires Association is using social media to plead its case. We'll get to that coming up after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Battle of the top two teams in the AL East. And so far, so good for the Yankees and their bats that are coming alive.
Number three.
Kittredge deals, swung on and drilled to deep right center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Eddie Encarnacion's first home run as a Yankee. Una celebración for Edwin Encarnacion. 2-2. Swung on. A high drive to deep left. Fair. It's gone. She is gone. Oh, hammering Cameron. Another home run. Four straight games with a home run. A high, deep drive way up and right down the line into one of the top decks. So Maven homers, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead.
5-3 in the seventh, 6-3 in the eighth, and John Sterling on the Yankees radio network clearly ready for Encarnacion's home run. Of course, he is the AL home run leader when he got traded to the Yankees, and with them getting Giancarlo Stanton back, Aaron Judge soon to follow, now you've got names that you recognize in that lineup for the New York Yankees. Again, doubling up the Rays, padding their lead atop the AL East. But for Encarnacion, kind of good to get that monkey off his back, that first homer in pinstripes.
We have a great group of guys. It's unbelievable how all those guys are here in the clubhouse and how they play the game. It's very fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. They just need some pitching. And the reports that I've heard, lots of dismay around New York that Madison Bumgarner could end up with the Twins. Now, that's just a report. Don't know if it's going to happen, but that might be a blow if he not only doesn't go to the Yankees, but then ends up with one of the other top teams in the American League. We'll get to the Twins, who hosted the longest game in Target Field history on Tuesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The Colorado Rockies have been pounding the snot out of the ball as well. And you could certainly point to where they play. I get it. But what about when they're on the road in Arizona, in the desert? Yeah, it doesn't change anything. They still have some bats that can do major damage.
Number two.
2-1 pitch. Well hit to left field. High and deep and long gone. Touch him all time for Nolan Arenado. Rockies strike first, 2-0 Colorado.
1-2 pitch to Blackman. Charlie hits that to the right side and threw the glove of Marte in the right field. Marte got there, got to a knee on a slide, but didn't get the glove down in time. And we'll see if they'll give Charlie a hit. I think they're going to. Yes, they are. Three hits tonight for Charlie Blackman.
Think about that now. He has 18 hits in his last five games.
That's insane. The clip at which Charlie Blackman is hitting right now is phenomenal. In fact, we had talked about his weekend series, the four-game series with 15 hits. But now he's working on a streak in which he's had at least three hits in, five straight games? And this guy is on a tear. So, yeah, I would think you would err on the side of, yes, Charlie Blackman got another hit. That's Jack Corrigan and the Rockies radio network. And so right now in the National League West, they're still trailing the Dodgers by 10 games. Not insurmountable, but they need to stay above 500. Hope the Dodgers come back to the pack a little bit. And, of course, there's always the wild card option. The Dodgers, by the way, got a shutout run from Clayton Kershaw and a grand slam from Kike Hernandez, and they were able to win on Tuesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. As we were going on the air, so this is 2 a.m. Eastern time, Minneapolis would have been just before 1 o'clock Central time, and it was a game that just kept going and going and going between the Red Sox and the Twins. The Red Sox had taken a one-run lead in the 13th on a Mookie Betts home run, but Max Kepler, well, he was waiting for his opportunity.
Number one.
So got hit high in the air, right field. Betts back, he'll look up. Tied up. Kepler with a home run. And back tied, 3-3.
It sounds like there are a ton of people there still, and that was the 13th inning. This eventually played into the 17th inning, where it became the longest game in the short history of Target Field, the home of the Twins. But, man, they were still cheering away when Kepler got back to the plate in the bottom of the 17th.
He delivers. Line down the right field line, base hit. Hanging, breaking ball, arise, touches home plate. Twins on the field going to mob Kepler. Their first walk-off win.
That was one of the best games I've ever been a part of ever in baseball. I think a lot of people in that clubhouse can say the same thing. Couldn't be prouder of our players and our staff and the way that we went about our business for, I don't know, what was it, 6 hours or whatever it was?
Manager Rocco Baldelli pointing to the Minnesota Twins and the fact that they are also 10 games up in the AL Central. But the way that they came back in the 13th and Kepler able to then get the walk-off and the fact that there were so many people still there, excitement in Minneapolis about their baseball team again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Corey Provis on the Twins Radio Network. One other note from baseball, Baltimore is now at 52 losses. 52 losses. And I just think that's nutty, except then you look and you realize the Royals are not far behind. They actually have 48 losses and the Blue Jays have 47, but still to be the first team with more than 50 losses, that's impressive. Baltimore. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. And I'll tell you a quick story about Andrew Bogish. So in the hallway, Andrew was, I don't know where you were going, to the kitchen, and I was coming back in the studio to start our final hour. And I said, Andrew, you weren't here yesterday, were you? And he's like, nope. And I yell, you know, because I'm such a nice person and I like to be honest and be really kind to people. And I yell, I missed you. There's this at least a 3 second pause. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. And Andrew yells back, I hope you got through it. That wasn't awkward at all. It's fine.
Well, the magic takes a second sometimes.
You might as well have just said, I didn't miss you, but we would be all good. I'd prefer the honesty over the fake, like, oh, I hope you got through it.
It was too early for sweetness. I was thrown off by emotions and personal connections.
The best part is that it took a full 3 seconds for you to come up with that.
Like I said, it's early. The synapse is not firing just yet.
You could have just kept walking.
At 8 a.m., that would have come right back at you immediately. No delay. But at 5 o'clock, it's slow sometimes.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Five to shoot, four to shoot. Harden, a straightaway three. Good! James Harden drills the three! Timeout, Golden State! Rockets up six, 49 seconds to go in overtime.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. I'm not really sure where we are right now with the Houston Rockets, only that we know for damn sure that the last two seasons have ended in heartbreak and disappointment in the playoffs against the Warriors. But that is Craig Ackerman on the Rockets Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're spending some time in Houston now to try to get to the bottom of things. We welcome our friend Mike Meltzer, who's the co-host of Sports Radio 610's Mad Radio in the Mornings. Mike, I don't know what to believe. What do you believe about the relationship between James Harden and Chris Paul after everything that's been written and said?
Well, Amy, listen, I'm sure that these guys have their differences, but the stuff that was in the Yahoo Sports story from yesterday that everybody's talking about, I just think was overblown. Based on a lot of things that have come out since that point, based on the people that I know, the people that I talk to, the idea that James Harden and Chris Paul spent 2 months during the season not talking whatsoever just seems like it's not true unless the writer Vince Goodwill wrote it in some sort of non-literal way, if that makes sense. Because there are all these reports yesterday after that story came out about these guys playing cards on the plane. I know people who are close to the organization that talk about how these guys do talk during the season. So I'm sure that there might be differences between James and Chris, but not to the extent that it was portrayed in Yahoo Sports on Tuesday.
So when Vincent Goodwill, the author of this article, says the two stars reportedly haven't spoken in 2 months, you're not buying it?
Yeah, I'm not buying it. And there was something in here, Amy, that I found to be completely staggering. There was a quote that I'm still trying to figure out how exactly it makes sense. Here's the quote. There's no respect at all on either side. They need to get it away from one another. Chris doesn't respect James's standing in the league, and James doesn't respect the work Chris has put into this point. That makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, think about that. Chris doesn't respect James's standing in the league. Listen, whatever people want to say about James Harden, who doesn't respect his standing in the league? He's one of the very best players in the NBA. That is not something that's up for debate. And as far as, you know, James doesn't respect the work Chris has put into this point, that's completely illogical. I mean, Chris Paul is a dude who's like 6 foot flat, who's going to be an absolute first ballot guaranteed Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. There's no way James Harden cannot respect the work that Chris Paul has put in. Nobody's ever questioned Chris Paul's work ethic. So based on some of the things that were in that story, I just can't see how that could possibly be true is the best way that I can put it.
What signs of friction have people in Houston seen between the two then, Mike?
Well, there was something that Tim McMahon wrote of ESPN.com a few days ago, which I thought was a good point. And Tim, when he discussed the friction between James and Chris, you know, he had cited there was at the podium in the playoffs, and this is this year. It was in like the first round or so when those guys go up there together, which they did a lot in the playoffs these last 2 years. And Chris Paul, after like three or four questions that were just directed toward James Harden, Chris Paul basically got up and left. And we mentioned it a little bit. We had talked about it, but didn't take it too seriously. And McMahon portrayed it as like, yeah, this is something that Chris Paul kind of had an issue with, that there's so much focus on James Harden, both on the court, even in a situation like that. So you'll see that. And the reports from, I think, The Athletic over the last month or so since the Rockets lost the Warriors in the playoffs about game six against the Warriors on that Friday, you know, basically 4 or 5 weeks ago,
right,
where there were some differences between Harden and Paul about the way they were running their offense and all that. But I'm cool with those guys having issues with that because I think that's what competitors do. So you're asking me about signs of friction. Those would be my answers. There have been some signs of friction like that.
Well, losing definitely generates friction. And the fact is that they ran into that same team again twice and without Kevin Durant at the end. So that part I understand toward the end. No one likes to lose. But if the relationship is unsalvageable, that's where the changes would need to be made. Mike Meltzer with us from Sports Radio 610, our affiliate in Houston. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So then, in your opinion, from your perspective, how do the Rockets move forward from this point?
I would not do anything out of desperation. I mean, listen, the league is wide open. The Warriors are obviously not going to be nearly as good next season as they were the last couple seasons. That's obvious based on injuries. I know the Lakers got better, and I think they're better than the Rockets are right now, but they still have a lot of issues to prove. And plus, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron both need to prove they can stay healthy. If I'm the Rockets, I'm not going to do anything out of desperation. I'm not going to trade anybody just to, you know, make someone's feelings better or worse. I'm just going to stick with a team I have unless I can find something that is a better trade for me. Scott Burrell had me on, I want to say it was 3 weeks ago, and he asked me something similar, and I kept going back to this. Whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's Clint Capella, I'd be willing to make a lot of moves from a Rockets standpoint, but I'm not going to make a move unless it's going to make me a better basketball team, because this is a team now where I know things seem like they're not very good and their stories like seemingly every couple of days or every week. But this is a team that's been highly successful the last couple of years. They just haven't quite gotten the job done. I'm not going to make a move just to make a move because I'm making moves to make myself better. And Clint Capella is one thing, but Chris Paul, especially with his contract, I'm not going to trade him to make myself worse. That just doesn't make any sense to me. If I still think the league is wide open next year and I have a chance to actually win.
However, Mike, if the team stands pat and doesn't make any moves and other teams get better, then that would just naturally move the Houston Rockets down farther in the West. So, for instance, the Lakers, they go out and they get Anthony Davis. Maybe the Clippers get Kawhi Leonard. So can the Rockets still be as competitive if other teams make moves but they stand pat?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're too worried about, you know, there's not going to be a move in this offseason that's going to be equivalent to, you know, Durant going to the Warriors, obviously, you know, 3 years ago. There's nothing I think on the table that's going to be quite like that. Listen, it's a concern. There's no doubt. There's a concern that this team's best chances may have been last year to win the title, Amy, and then, you know, possibly this year, even though they weren't as good this season as they were last season. It's a real worry. But I still think internally at Toyota Center, they believe they have a very good team, and I think they still want to try to contend and see what they can do. And again, like unless they felt like they truly could not win, and I don't think they're anywhere near that point, they're going to still try to make moves to make themselves better. If there are moves that just make themselves worse but better possibly 3 years from now, I don't think they're really entertaining anything along those lines.
Mm. Mike Meltzer from Houston with us here after our CBS Sports Radio. So what's the status with Mike D'Antoni and his contract?
It's a weird deal. It's so weird. Man, it's weird. it's weird because, you know, they negotiate in public, which is strange. And that's more from, well, it's actually from both sides because, you know, Mike D'Antoni's side, him, and I like Mike, and his agents have discussed, you know, some specific terms that are offered by the Rockets. The Rockets have... You know, the Rockets owner, Tilman Fertitta, has discussed how apparently they made Mike some really good offer, which they haven't. And I think they're in this weird spot where Tilman Fertitta, who's the owner, he doesn't really like the status quo when it comes to coaches. So one example with this is a few years ago, Tilman is big at the University of Houston. Like, he is like the main, one of the main Board of Regents guys. Mm-hmm. And he was upset when Tom Herman left from U of H to go to the University of Texas. And his whole thing is like, well, why isn't these coaches in college football have so much power and the universities like have very little power? And so they hired Major Applewhite 2 years ago, and they set up this whole contract where if Major tried to leave, like, he would have to pay them and just do all these different things. And I just think that Tilman, he hasn't really gotten used to the power structure in sports where, listen, it's an awkward spot for the Rockets because ultimately they probably don't want to pay Mike D'Antoni going rate because Tilman is probably rightfully thinking, listen, this whole thing, as you're alluding to, this whole thing could blow up in a year or two. If I give D'Antoni a big extension now, I'm going to be on the hook for a big contract. At the same time, it's hard to just fire Mike D'Antoni because right now, right this second, I don't know who they can get who is an upgrade over Mike D'Antoni, which is the same issue from a coaching standpoint that they have with the players that we've just been talking with the last 10 minutes or so, which is it's hard to get better. And I think what they should do is they should re-sign Mike because they don't really have any other great option. I don't know who I can go out there and say, yeah, they should fire Mike D'Antoni and bring in this guy. Now, maybe there's a next Nick Nurse out there. I just don't know who exactly that is. So Mike D'Antoni will be back this season, but I'm guessing it's going to be either on the deal that he has now, which is lame duck last year of his deal, or maybe he gets like somehow another year or so tacked on. But that's where we're at with Mike D'Antoni. It's a weird deal.
Huh. Just 15 seconds, Mike. Bigger story in Houston right now, is it the Astros or the Rockets' dysfunction?
I think it's the Rockets' dysfunction by a little bit.
Okay.
But also probably this weird Texans general manager thing has gotten a ton of play
as
well.
No doubt. Also, that is odd. And the weird thing is it hardly got any pub. I think it happened on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And it seemed really odd like there wasn't more of an uproar about it. So maybe next time we have you on, we'll talk about that. Thank you so much. You can find Mike on Twitter at Mike Meltzer, M-E-L-T-S-E-R, about to start his show. Well, getting close to starting his show on our affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610. Thanks so much, Mike. It's always good to catch up with you.
Oh, Amy, always great. Thank you.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.